In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us.
He is our shepherd.
So far, we talked very much about two people. Do you remember their names?
Adam and Eve.
We talked about Adam and Eve. And I think it's about time to move on and to talk about their children. Do you remember the names of their two sons?
Yeah.
Cain and the second one? The younger one?
Abel.
Cain and Abel. Now, it is said in the Bible that Abel was a shepherd of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So Abel was a shepherd, and Cain was
a tiller of the ground.
What do you think that means? A tiller of the ground.
Someone who takes care of the ground.
Somebody who takes care of the ground. He was a farmer. He was planting whatever plants he planted. He was a gardener, let's put it that way. He was a farmer, he was a gardener. Now, in the process of time, the Bible says, Cain brought a sacrifice to the Lord from the Cain brought a sacrifice to the Lord from the fruits of the ground. Abel also brought a sacrifice from the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. The Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his sacrifice. So we see both Cain and Abel offering a sacrifice to God. But the Lord respects, he receives the sacrifice of Abel, but he does not respect the sacrifice of Cain. Why that?
He was jealous.
He was jealous. And what else? What else did you notice from what I read? Cain just gave something to God. Some of the fruit of the ground. But about Abel, the Bible says that he gave the first, the best fruit, the firstborn, of his flock. About the sacrifice of Cain, it is said that he gave from the fruits of the ground.
He didn't give the best ones.
He didn't give the best ones. He gave something to God. He offered something to God, but not the best, not the first. Abel offered the first and the best. The best lamb he had, he offered God. Now, what could we learn from their lesson? What do you think that, because I told you that everything that is in the Bible, everything that God tells us, he wants us to learn something from it and to apply it, you know, to do it in our life. Nice way to come in, Luca. God bless you. So, what could we learn from the story of the sacrifices of Cain and Abel? What do you think? Somebody else? Okay, Sophia.
To give the best to God.
I would say, you know, that we could learn two things. First of all, to give, and to give not only something, but the best to God.
And the first.
Now, how could we give the best and the first to God of what you have? Do you have anything?
You can give something to your friends.
You could give something to your friends. But how could we give to God? Yes, we could.
Pray to him. Pray.
Pray, but you know, when we pray, yes, we worship him. But do we give really something to him? We talk to him, and most of the time, you know, when we pray, we ask him to do something for us. How could we do something for God?
Our life.
to give our life. How could we give our life to Him?
To be kind.
To
respect the rules that God made.
But you know what? Cain and Abel gave something physical, something that they could touch, something that they worked for together with God, and now they are giving it back to God. So how could you give something that you could feel and touch to God? Not only, you know, our love, our kindness, you know, that's very good. But something physical, something that you could touch, how could you give something to that?
How can you give that to God?
What about making a donation to the church? Have you ever thought about that?
Not
is the church not the church of God? Is the church not the body of Christ? Luca?
Don't we donate everything every day because at one point we give money to the church?
A little louder.
Don't we donate something every day because we give money to the church?
Yes, you know, that's a very good way to put it. You know, one very simple way of offering something to God is to make a donation to the church. Do you have any money? Do you have any? Do you have a piggy bank? Luca?
I have.
Do you have a piggy bank?
I actually got the money for my birthday party.
Okay, you know, I'm sure you know. I remember when I was a child. You know, when I was a child, I had a piggy bank. No, and little by little, you know, I was. Do you have a piggy bank? So what do you think about giving of the first fruits of your piggy bank to God? Would you be ready to do that? Would you be ready to give back to God
for what He's done for us?
Something to give back to God, a portion, the first one, the first portion that God gave to you. Would you be ready to do that? Why do we make donations to the church, first of all, you know? Because that's very important also to know.
To help the church.
To help the church. Why? Why does the church need help? What do you think, what kind of expenses do you think that the church has? Sophia?
My best church right now needs to be rebuilt and the electricity and the water.
Very good. We have to build a church, first of all, because if we don't have a church, we have no place to pray and to get closer to God. And we have to pay for, what's up there?
Lights.
For electricity. We get bills every month like everybody else. Have you ever thought about that? You said water. Do you go, you know, do you wash your hands?
Yes.
We have to pay for water. We have to pay for what else? What do you think? Just look around. Just look, yeah, Luca.
These chairs?
Yes. What else? For the candles. What else?
For the furniture.
For the furniture.
For heating.
For heating and air conditioning in the summer, because otherwise it's going to be too hot. You know?
Ovens.
So we have so many expenses. And what else is the church doing with the money that receives from the people? We talked about this last Sunday a little bit, about doing charitable work. Do you know what that is? To help the people who are in need. If the church doesn't receive money to help people who are in need, how could the church help the people?
We donate money to the church
in New York? Yes, and we donate money for the church in New York. We donate money to other churches to be built. We try to give money to the poor. We try to be like Christ in the world.
And to children that can't go to school.
Yes, and to children who can't go to school. Now, if you are ready for this, I would like to organize you and to teach you how to run the church. Because in about 10 years from now, you'll have to be on parish council. Yes. In about 10 years from now, you'll have to be on parish council. You'll have to support the church, to make budgets for the church, and to spend that budget and to run the church. You are the church. Are you ready for that?
How can we be a church if the church can walk in me? How can we be the church if we can walk and the church can't?
You know, the church is the people, not the building. And we'll talk more about that, you know, but even when, you know, when we build a church, when we build a church, you know, like a building, we treat it like a person. Okay? Because the church is the people. We are the church. Okay? So, in about 10 years from now, you'll have to be on parish council, and you'll have to know to support the church and to run the church.
So,
and to respect the church, I want to teach you from now to donate to the church, to make a budget. Do you know what a budget is? Do you know what a budget is?
It's where you build your finances up.
You know, a budget is, you know, like, you know, okay, let's see what we need. Let's say for the church, we try to see what we need for the church, and then we try to come up with the money to
make it.
To make it. Okay, so that's a budget. Yes, Luca.
What's parish council?
Parish council. Thank you very much for asking for that. Yes. Parish council. The parish council is a group of people. Right now, we are going to have 11 people on parish council, 12 with me. So these people are trying, you know, they're elected by everybody in the church, and they're trying, you know, to make decisions, the best decisions for the whole church, okay? So in about 10 years from now, you'll have to make decisions for our church. And so, are you ready for this? Are you ready to start running the church and to make your own budget? I'm going to teach you. My role is to teach you and to prepare you to become the best Christians that you could be. And this is part of it, to learn to run the church. So, what I would ask you to do, starting with next Sunday, we'll have a children's collection. Okay? So, please bring to church from your piggy bank. Please bring to church whatever you think that you could give to the church, okay? Whatever you could give with a good heart, not like Cain, you know, with, oh, I give this to God, but I don't really want to give. Give whatever you want to give with a good heart, okay? And every Sunday, we'll have the children's collection. Every Sunday, at the end of the sermon, I'll give you a nice basket, and when the parish council members who are on duty come to take the collection from the people, two of you will go to take the collection from the children, okay? And you are going to put your offering, your sacrifice, your money in that basket, and then the two of you who collected the money will go with the parish council members and count the money of your collection. And then we'll make a budget and we'll see how you'll decide how to spend the money you collected. You learn to run the church.
How do we do this if we're altar boys?
We have to figure that out. You know, I mean, I'm sure that you'd like to take the collection once in a while, so maybe we'll rotate you, and on the Sunday you take the collection, you are not going to be an altar boy, okay? We'll find ways. So, what do you think? Do you want to do that?
Yes.
And parents, I need your support. It is part of their spiritual formation, because if we want them to be able and ready to run the church in 10 years from now, we have to teach them now. Not 10 years from now. But now. Because today, salvation has come to Zacchaeus' house, and today salvation comes to our house. Not tomorrow, not 10 years from now, but today we have to work together
and
with the Lord.
Day.
And every day. And every day is a today. Every day and today. God bless you. So, next Sunday, please bring your offering and we'll start the collection. God bless you. Giving to God, giving to the church, is a lot more than paying the bills of the church. Now I'm going to take it at a higher level for you. Giving to God, giving to the church, is about getting into a personal relationship with God. At the end of today's gospel, we heard our Lord Jesus Christ saying, "Today salvation has come to this house." Today, this tax collector, who was taking money from the people and keeping money for himself in a very selfish way, today, this short of stature Zacchaeus, who could not see beyond his personal needs, today, this short Zacchaeus became bigger than life. Today, he got into a personal relationship with me. Because today, Zacchaeus saw more than his personal needs. Today, salvation was brought to Zacchaeus' house because Zacchaeus knew to offer himself and everything he had to God. In the Orthodox Church, we believe that salvation is union and communion with God. And this gospel is a very beautiful example of this union and communion between God and a human being. Today, the Lord went to Jericho, and Zacchaeus wanted to see him. And the Lord told him, "Zacchaeus, I want to be in your house today. I want to become part of your life today. I don't care who you are. I don't care what people say about you. I know you are an image of God, and I want to be in your house. I want to become one with you. I want to share my life with you today." And Zacchaeus was so overwhelmed by Jesus' love that when Jesus was in his house, he stood up and he said, "Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I defrauded anybody of anything, I'll give it back four times, fourfold." This is how salvation happens for each and every one of us. St. Gregory the Theologian used to say that what is not assumed is not saved, referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. He assumed everything. He did not save us in a spiritual way. You know, many people think that our relationship with God is a spiritual relationship. Oh, I'm a spiritual person. I have a spiritual relationship with God. And for many people, their relationship with God is just a spiritual relationship. When it's about, you know, the physical aspect of their life, they don't even think that they could offer their physical life to God. Nothing further from the truth. According to the Bible, God saved us by becoming incarnate. God is almighty. He could have saved us from heaven. "I want humanity to be saved." As he said in the beginning, "Let there be light, let there be everything," and it was. But when it was about saving us, when it was about becoming one with us, he assumed our human body. The spiritual God became physical. The transcendent God became immanent. He took upon himself our human body, our human nature. He suffered with us. He became everything. In everything, he became one with us. That's why St. Gregory the Theologian says, what is not assumed is not saved. He assumed everything.
And also, what we don't offer to God is not safe. If we offer to God only our soul, only the spiritual, only our soul, only our spirit, but we don't offer our body, we don't offer our strength to God, that part of our life won't be safe. It's very interesting. When the Lord was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Heart, soul, mind, strength. What's this strength about? The original Greek word in the original New Testament for strength is ischios. Is means force, strength, and exo or echo means have. With the force of what we have, we are called to love God with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, and with everything that we have. Because what is not offered is not saved. We are called to offer to the Lord everything that we have. We are called to offer to Him joyfully the first fruits of our work, to say, Lord, here is my life. Here is my job. Here is what, by your grace and your strength, I could accomplish this week. The first fruits I bring to church and I offer them to you. A beautiful cycle of offering to God every day, every week, every month, our whole life, not only our soul, not only our heart, not only our mind, but also our strength. So that our strength, our work, everything that we have will be unified with God. Everything will become one with God. Therefore, beloved faithful, as we say so many times in the Holy Liturgy, let us offer ourselves and one another and our whole life to Christ our God, so that our whole life will become one with Him. Our whole life will become the kingdom of heaven now and forever. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.